Welcome to Amplify, the personal brand business show. Today on the show, Bob is speaking with Jessica Phillips.
Remember, like, it's still serving even to work on our own stuff. I actually just posted about it, you know, yesterday on Instagram. It was like, it's not selfish, you know, to take some time for yourself and to work on things, because you often come back more energized and more creative, and it has more uses, like launching the website that I now am using as a utility. So I that's something I still need to remind myself and still continue to show up for and do and treat ourselves like a client too sometimes.
Hi there, and welcome back to the Personal Brand Business Show. My name is Bob Gentle, and every week I speak with incredible people who share their stories to building, marketing, and monetizing their expertise and the mindset you need for your business to grow and thrive. If you're new to the show, then while you still have your device in your hand, take a second to subscribe. On Apple Podcasts, that's the very discreet plus icon at the top right-hand corner. Probably click it before you forget where it is, because it's really hard to find. Podcasters are super enthusiastic about that. But if you're on YouTube, it's much easier and you know what to do. So this week, I am thrilled to welcome Jessica Phillips to the show. This is an interview I've been looking forward to for a long time. Jessica, in my head, is a mythical creature that doesn't really exist, because so many people talk about her, but I've never actually spoken to her. So Jessica, welcome to the show.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much for having me. A mythical creature. I'm gonna keep that one. I like it. Thank you. Hopefully all good things.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would honestly love to jump into introducing you, but I'm going to do that my way in a minute. But for the listener who's meeting you for the first time, can maybe start just by telling us a little bit about who you are, where you are, and the kind of work you do.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, so I like to say I'm a mama first. I'm a mom to three daughters, and I'm an agency owner, a relationship marketing agency owner. But really, what I do is I live my personal mission to help people love more, give more, be more through the art of authentic relating. And I get to do what I love every day by helping businesses, you know, outcare the competition and to really discover what their personal mission is. And I'm also the conference host of Social Media Week Lima, not to be confused with Lima, Peru, but it often is. but yeah, conference host, and I get to work with the most talented people, in my opinion, on the planet every day.
So I love the way that you describe relationship marketing, and I want to get into that. Sure. But for the listener, so Jessica's somebody that I have a lot of contacts in common with, but we've never actually spoken. Me not being from the US, I think they're always talking about this social media marketing conference, Lima. And because a lot of this goes on in Messenger, in my head, for some reason, I'm busy. I don't have time to think things through. I assumed Peru. And I thought, why are all these people I know going to Peru for a social media marketing conference? It makes no sense. And then when I saw them in person, it was, oh, Lima, that's a place in Ohio I've never heard of. Which is really interesting that I know of a small number of social media marketing conferences. That I should know about your conference is telling me an awful lot about the impact of what you do. And more interestingly, the relationships that you cultivate. And that's probably a good place to start, is relationship marketing is something you practice in your own business. I see it every day. But in your words, what is relationship marketing, and why that over all the other tactics that you could be focusing on?
Well, I think you just actually kind of told the story of it without even trying to. But I always like to say relationships will always be more powerful than marketing, right? Like, I could market the conference to death. We've never placed an ad on Social Media Week Lima. But here it is being talked about. You said you've heard it being talked about a lot and in the inbox, right, where people are having these conversations. You said in Messenger and in private conversations, conversations that I don't even hear about or see per se, unless I bump into someone, but people are talking about it. And that's the impact of the new narrative, which is not just, you know, the best leads used to come from word of mouth business, and they still are, but now it's word of mouth business. So in my opinion, relationship marketing is the art of growing more word and word of mouth business through people talking about you, actually caring to bring your your name up and advocating on your behalf because they care. So what we practice and what we do each and every day is help other brands do just that, outcare their competition, show up, really focus on making a flywheel type effect of momentum growth in their business by starting from the inside out of the core of who they are, their personal mission, what they're here to do and who they're here to do it for, and to create that impact that's long lasting and sustainable, where it's not just a pay to play kind of space to grow your business or your conference or your personal brand.
So as I'm listening to you there, I'm imagining two different people in my mind. Mm-hmm. One is a company that, or a business or a solopreneur, it doesn't really matter. But mission is something they can get behind. They can think, you know what? I can see that. There's another business owner that is possibly a little bit more cynical by nature and thinks, no, I just want ads. How do you have those conversations? Because I'm willing to bet with your reputation, you don't always get the customer who is instinctively mission-oriented. How do you have that conversation with them?
Yeah, so I think I start the conversation with truly understanding who the client is and what their goals are at the end of the day. And if a business owner, the person, truly doesn't care about the people and they're only about the profit, it may not work right out of the gate because it is not an instant gratification thing. And it's not something that you're just going to start and it has a campaign start date and end date. This is a lifelong thing. It's like if you're trying to get healthy, right? You can't just go to the gym for 30 days and then stop your membership and decide to live the rest of your life healthy. It doesn't work that way. But relationship marketing is a belief. It is at the core of who you are as an individual, as well as how you're going to show up in every aspect of your business, not just marketing and sales, because it won't work in just marketing and sales. It has to start first at the core of what you're truly here to do, what lights you up, what you're wanting to show up to the world, to who you're trying to serve, and what kind of lasting impact and legacy that you want your name and your brand name to have. And so that goes way beyond just the marketing or campaign and sales at the end of the day. Does it grow sales? Absolutely. But yeah, is it going to, when you tell a business owner sometimes, oh, it's not going to be an instant 30-day fix, then sometimes it's a harder sale. But the people that get it, get it.
If we were to take a small business owner, they don't have big mm-hmm. budgets. They're possibly time limited. Mm-hmm. What are the basic levers that you say, now you maybe need to just start changing the order that you're doing things in or prioritize things differently? Yeah. You probably know, like a paramedic when he turns up at a car crash, he knows what to do first. Mm-hmm. What are you going in there first thing? No, we need to look at these places first. How do I begin the journey?
Yeah, and these people are actually the perfect people to start with because you don't need an ads budget and you can start with where you're at right away. And I actually do have, I don't just say we help people outcare the competition. CARE is an acronym that goes through this process of how a brand can get started. So we start with the C part of CARE, which is how are we going to capture attention for our business? Whether you're newly getting started or you're already in an existing business that has tons of sales coming in. Either way, they both should start in the same framework of how are we trying to capture attention first and why are people going to pay attention to me? And first is that I like to call this the core of your business. So the capturing attention first is not just what you look like, but what does it feel like when somebody's going to be working with you? That's how we're capturing and captivating attention. So we start with first, what is your brand manifesto? Not just your mission or tagline or, you know, the saying that you can slap on your website or the wall that anyone else could slap on their website and wall and it would sound the same. But what is your true brand manifesto? Like, everyone recognizes Apple, right? And their manifesto, you know, here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the round pegs and the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules. They're not, you know, they don't abide by the status quo, you know, and they end it with the people that are crazy enough to change the world are the ones who do, right? Like, that doesn't say anything about the product or service or what they're selling, but it's like, here's who we're creating this for. Here's why we're showing up. And it gets you excited. At least it does me enough to even memorize their brand manifesto, right? And it's something that everybody can wrap their head around. So when you create this manifesto first, this starts at the capturing attention point, not just of your customer, but it also captures the attention of who else are you going to align with in your community that's going to help align with your values and belief to help you get there, as well as the team that you potentially will hire eventually, and the types of clients that you want to work with. Once you figure out that core, which is like the momentum generator starter of capturing attention, you write that out. And by the way, I do have a free workbook at the end that will walk you through this whole process of how you can do this for your business. And I'm sure we can provide that in the show notes and give the link. It's free. But you find that out first. That's the first thing, because in order for us to articulate our message, which is the A part of care, we have to know what are we trying to articulate and who are we trying to communicate with on the other end of that message, whether it's on social media or when we're showing up in person and having a conversation. What are we truly trying to articulate on what we do differently than some other business, whether or not you are in the same industry, let's say an insurance company, right? It's not like one insurance company can offer a buy one, get one free, you know, on that accident that the triage just showed up for that you're referencing. They have to stand out in their own right with the personality that they have. So articulating your message, you have to know, who am I trying to communicate with? So who is that ideal client that I want to work with? What is the messaging that I'm trying to convey to them that lets them know who we are and why they want to do business with us? Because we all know that it's a lot less to keep a customer than it is to earn one. And so this is what starts this momentum shift now of the flywheel of, if we can capture attention and articulate our message, now we start turning our clients into our biggest fans, our team members to our biggest evangelists, our community members that are like in the circles talking about us or talking about our conference into collaborators with us. And, you know, this is what starts that flywheel of that repeat referral business that's going to start coming in over time. The R part of care is all about relationships. So it's, how are we connecting with people on a real level that lets them know that we care more about them. It's focusing in on the customers that you are getting in, or those, you know, people that you're working with in the community that you want to build a better rapport with, and truly showing up and focusing in on them, kind of like what you're doing. You're creating a podcast, you're serving your community, you're giving first without the mindset of getting something back in return first. It is serving and building those relationships for repeat referral business that's lifelong, right? They're going to continue wanting to be loyal to you. And then the E part of care is all about building exceptional experiences. How are you standing out and making your process feel unique and special to the other person on the end of the screen? So I have several examples of that, but I'll stop there first on just, that's the framework first of thinking things out. So from start to finish, how am I showing up with this care first mentality to where I know that my process is in place? I know exactly who we are as a person of one or company of one that, or a brand that has many, many team members. Who are we showing up as? Who are we doing it for? The customer on the other end of the screen or other end of the transaction. And who do we want to do it with, as far as who can we collaborate with and really get that momentum growth that's going to grow outward, ongoing, that's going to be sustainable long-term, whether you have an ads budget or not.
What I really like about that is at the root of everything is this manifesto. Mm-hmm. And it would be very easy to sidestep that or do it in different ways. But there's a power to it that is really interesting, because what it's asking you to do is identify the spirit of your business.
Exactly.
And if you're not willing to do that, then this is probably not the route for you. And I think a lot of people might react to the idea of a manifesto that, well, some people might react very negatively to my manifesto. That has to be okay.
Very much so.
Because something that a lot of new content creators worry about, and you'll probably remember this, is what happens if people don't like me? Mm-hmm. And that's actually the secret power of it is, yeah, probably one third of people will not like you. One third of people will not care about you. Mm-hmm. One third of people will love you. The manifesto allows you to tune that dial so the people who are deciding they like you for what you've decided is important. And there's another aspect to this, which is as content creators or as people who need to do the marketing, that manifesto allows us to make it bigger than us. It's not about us anymore. And as a solopreneur, that's really important. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm going out marketing me all the time, that feels quite pretentious and self-absorbed. Whereas if I'm driven by a mission, everything's easier and I have an external impetus. And you know yourself, if your own self-interest is the only thing that's motivating you, yeah, for some people, that's all they need. But for others, we need a bigger mission in life. For me, that's very important. And your framework works really well for that. I really like it.
That's what keeps people showing up. That's what keeps people loyal, whether even ourselves, right? It's you're going to have challenging days as a business owner. But if you have a mission and purpose bigger than yourself, that's what's the driving force. And people can feel that off of you, right? They can feel the energy, the passion, and when it's genuine and when it's not. And this is what's going to be the differentiator between one person choosing company A or company B. They say 90% of all buying decisions start online, and 60% of the decision is made by the person seeking out a solution or an answer to a problem online before they talk to a person at a company. They're getting a vibe, they're getting a sense of who to work with and who's really going to align with them. And the last thing that we want to keep doing is working with the wrong people. We want people to know who we are because you want to enjoy the experience that you're providing. And the customer wants to enjoy and want to, you know, stay loyal to the companies that they care about. If we look at some of the most beloved brands in the world, you know, like Whole Foods and I mentioned like Apple and, you know, Dove and some of these larger brands, you would be surprised how many of them have a true manifesto. You can even Google like top brand manifestos and you'll see the companies that have it written out. None of them really include their services or their products in it either. It's not about them. By the way, in the workbook that I give you, it walks you through how to create your own with the team and several examples of these. But you'll find that it aligns with no matter what message they've put out, their website, the you know social media channels, their commercials, everything still has that same tone and that feeling that's hard to articulate around that brand manifesto. And that is the magnet that's going to start dragging and driving and attracting the right people into you that's going to stick with you long term. It's a magnet over a bullhorn kind of approach, right? Or a megahorn or whatever you want to call it. But the magnet approach is what's going to draw people into you without feeling like you have to be the loudest person in the room just talking about yourself. Because we all know that kind of messaging. We've all received the spam in our inbox as soon as we accept people on LinkedIn. And that doesn't feel good, right? What is the first thing we want to do? Ignore it. We want to tune out the telemarketing calls, you know, the spam emails. That none of that sticks with us. But when people feel like they belong to something, it's a belonging over buying feeling, and that feels good. And that's something we can get behind. So yeah, the core of every process has to start with why people are doing what they do and why should others care about it at the end of the day.
I really like that. Yes, I think an extension of this is when we're talking, as you described, as belonging over buying. Yes. Mm-hmm. That philosophy of approaching your business from the position of a manifesto drives a different kind of business. It's a business that's truly about service. Mm-hmm. And when you have that manifesto at the heart, it perhaps drives you to do things you wouldn't otherwise do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what a lot of what you describe. But where I'm stumbling to get to, and this is the important part, is not everything's about money in this scenario. Money is important. Money is the beating heart of a business. But service is about more than money. Mm-hmm. And content creation,
for example.
But it can
make more money at the end of the day. Oops, sorry.
Well, you obviously will make more money at the end of the day because if people are more sold on you, if people are more bought into you, if people are more loyal, you will make more money. Mm-hmm. But it's a pay now, earn later situation a lot of the time. giving to get, I guess, would be the way I put it. But a lot of the more educational aspects of my business and your business are designed to do that. And a lot of people, my competitors, your competitors, notionally, would probably think they don't need to do an awful lot of the things that we do, but they don't get it. It's a bit of a ramble.
I've done this, though, with water bottle companies. I've done it with tools called Mr. Manhole that literally the tool cuts the hole in the ground and repairs manholes. It can be done in any business. The key part of it is the flywheel is where the momentum starts growing. So what happens is as soon as you get that initial spark and it starts moving, more people are going to be talking about you in the inbox and online and wanting to feature you and be like, there's something different about what they're doing. They're thinking about things differently and it stops and attracts them like the magnet, right? And starts drawing them in. And then you get this repeat referral business. So not only are you people sticking with you longer, but they're willing to put their name on the line and refer you to someone else. So now you have another marketing and sales army for you that you didn't have before. You didn't have to try to earn that lead. And the giving can be anything as simple as, so when we talk about the E part of care, the experience, like Mr. Manhole, which is in the construction industry and large construction, very, you know, niche business, right? And he's trying to attract municipalities and other contractors for his industry. The giving for him is he took time and built a better experience on his website, a client portal. He found out what problems his customers were having. And some of them were having trouble because they're out in the field all day. They couldn't market their business. So he gave them free marketing tools that they could use to amplify their business. The same thing, Giver's Gain, but it looks a little bit different for different people. For the water bottle company, which let's think about how many of those are out there, right? Just everywhere. And what's going to make them stand out amongst a sea of samesies online everywhere. And usually it's just about price and that kind of aspect. What they started doing is telling better stories about the people that they were serving. They really drilled in and that they weren't just a water bottle company. They were there to help people live an extraordinary life. And they wanted to celebrate the moms that were going back to work now after their kids were out of diapers and out of daycare and into school. And this mom is now going back to yoga and having brunch with her girlfriends. And they were telling and sharing better stories. They were putting little motivational cards in the bottles. They were now putting their next water bottle design up for a community to come in and give them some suggestions on what they should put on their next water bottle for the kids for Easter. You know, what theme should they put on there? And made it a sense of community for, you know, the people that they were serving. So everybody felt part of this brand. Again, that belonging. That's what they did differently. And not only did that water bottle company save money on what they were before paying to be on all these top shows, Rachel Ray and, you know, all these big name shows and working with a big ad agency. What happened is they saved money there. They changed their ads and they had more growth on their website than they ever had before. They had more sales than they ever had before because it wasn't just them pushing out the bullhorn messaging of the marketing of why buy their water bottles. They had their community buying from them and buying it and for other people too and advocating for them. You know, it can work in any industry. It's just the mindset shift that it's not a campaign, it's a commitment. Right? It's a long time thing of truly showing up and caring and thinking about who are already our biggest advocates and that get behind this message. And how can we serve them first versus focusing on the sales? The sales will come because other people are going to say, man, they treat their customers like VIPs. I want that kind of experience too. I want to be treated like that too. I like what they're doing. And that's what's going to, you know, get their attention and get them to stick with you.
But it really does need a philosophical core in the business. It really does need you to identify as a business quite differently because it needs to influence your everyday decisions, not just the marketing decisions. Mm-hmm. That's really quite important, I think.
Yeah, because it impacts who you hire. Right? Because you're not, you know, if you are a business that has team members, they have to have the same belief because they're going to be engaging with customers too. If you have a sales team or, you know, if whatever you're doing, they have to know those core beliefs. So it has to run deep into not just you knowing it as the solopreneur or the business owner, but it has to run deep into every thread. You said it perfectly, every decision that you make, and that it has to go outward to where people can get it too. They get that vibe that sends from you. So it should be authentically you, or it won't work.
Yeah. I think this is the thing about leadership as well. This can't just be for marketing, because people can smell that a mile off. Yep. The leader or leaders of the business need to live this. They need to embody it in order that people will think, okay, this isn't just an artificial marketing gimmick, but this is actually how we live here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because if not, you get called out. I think we've all spotted, you know, some of the things that are one-off kind of pushes to get behind maybe something that is popular at the time that doesn't feel authentic to the brand. And we're like, wait, why are they doing that?
Barbie. Right?
Like we've seen that. I think we can all think of different situations, especially in the past, you know, 4 years where that's come up. And if it doesn't feel authentic, then we all just kind of tilt our head a little bit and be like, why are they doing that? And you can smell the insincerity a mile away, and it actually turns people off. So I love that you said it's so much deeper than marketing. It is at the core of what we're doing, because it impacts all of the decisions. Like, you know, the culture is a big part of that. When I say your team members into your biggest evangelist. So this means that this has nothing to do with your marketing, but everything to do with your marketing. What I mean by the culture part is what kind of environment is behind the scenes, right? Like, how are you treating the people that work with you and for you behind the scenes, right? Like, what kinds of, are you taking time to understand what they need and what they care about? And are you showing up in a way that is serving them too? Like, what kinds of things do you have in place already? Like a couple things that we have in our team, like we reward people for learning, for lifelong learning. We let them choose the book or the podcast or the webinar, whatever they want to do. That's one thing. And we give them points that they can use to do bucket list items. We do health challenges, things like that. We have something called My Day, My Way, where they get 3 days out of the year where they can just take a day. No need to explain, just maybe your best friend's in town, or you want to go see a family member that just popped into your mind, or maybe you just need a day, you know, whatever that is, your day, your way, no questions asked. And we encourage them to take it. It's those things. We don't blast that on marketing. Like, Joe just took a My Day, My Way today. Aren't we great as a company, right? Like, it's things that we want to have in the core of who we are and show up for our team in the same way that we want them showing up for us, you know, too. It's just a mutual care for each other. And by doing that, like those little things, the team, like I said at the beginning, I get to work with the best team in the world. I truly mean that. They show up, you know, when on days where I maybe be out or I may have a rough day, they show up tenfold. I hear, you know, clients telling me all the time how great the service was, because the team member truly does care, because they know they're cared for too.
I think one of the things that for me stands out in your business, and I kind of joked about this at the beginning, was I am very far away from you. I am probably 4,000 miles away. And yet I've heard of you, I've heard of your business, I've heard of your conference, because everything you're describing, you're living, you're doing in your own business, and I'm aware of it. I'm curious to know, as a marketing agency in isolated Ohio, we'll call it that. am I being accurate in that?
Yeah, there's cornfields outside my window here all around me. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what impact has this had on your business? What does your business look like now compared to how you think it might have looked if you'd taken a different route in your business?
Yeah, I would say it was at the thread of why I started Now Marketing Group, because I wanted to do business different. I worked in corporate America. I knew what that grind was like. I knew, you know, I was actually let go at the time I needed it most when I was pregnant with my last daughter, because I got sick and I was on, you know, in the hospital for 8 out of the 9 months I was pregnant. They were like, oh, we can't cover your territory. We're going to let you go. And I just remembered that feeling of, I never want to feel that way again. So I built it with that premise, right? I think I would still be miserable striving in the environment, the toxic environment, always worried about numbers, you know, and sales and growing and doing it. Even though I loved working with the clients I was working with, I don't think I would be as happy. And I think I used all the things that I didn't like and I seen were wrong with the corporate America to do things differently here. And so that's what's allowed, you know, Lima, Ohio, population like 40,000, which I mean, even in a smaller area than this, to be on the map and to impact people. And we're not trying to be the largest marketing agency in the world, but I do want to be the happiest and most transparent agency in the world. And so how it's impacted is, one, we have team members that have been with us for all 14 years. We have most of our tenure is, you know, team members 8 years plus, because they've stuck with us. We have clients that have been with us the whole time, which is really unheard of in, you know, in marketing agency world. And we have people coming to Lima, Ohio, where the closest airport is 2 hours away. So they're not only coming in and speaking, and I'm talking like amazing speakers that usually get paid a lot of money.
Names in social media.
Yeah, that have been amazing. I'm so thankful to give back, because they are surrounded by others that believe what they believe too. And it is a sense of belonging. And so we make this experience, and we have repeat and referral speakers come back each and every year, as well as the community. And this event is not one that we charge thousands of dollars for to attend. We do a bootleg, you know, budget, but we try to make it personalized and impactful for our clients that come to it, for attendees that come to it, and for those speakers that come to it, to give all of us a sense of support and community for each other. And then we have, you know, lots of fun too, but I think it's made an impact, not just in the way of, you know, longevity of keeping people coming back, but also in the continual growth of the agency, you know, the repeat referral business, because we've never had a salesperson at the company. It's all been drinking the Kool-Aid of what we're talking about. And I think it's an amazing feeling.
So I am always very curious when I get the opportunity to speak to somebody like you. We all have like the veneer of what we do really well. Competence is our game. We like to look competent, but I like to find out a little bit about where do people struggle? Mm-hmm. And I am very curious about somebody who is always presented as very competent to me. Where in your business do you maybe feel you could improve things?
Yeah. I would say when I first got started or now, sorry. When I first got started or still now? Now? Okay. Now I would say one thing that we could do is continue working on our own stuff too. So I have to remember that it's not a bad thing to work on your own stuff. It took us 2 years to launch our own website, and it just relaunched, thank goodness. And I was like, why didn't I do this 5 years ago or 2 years ago when we started the process, right? Because we're always preaching to our clients, like, keep it updated, keep it updated. I would definitely continue working on our own stuff. Like, there's, you know, I have the outline of a book. I have all these extra chapters I keep adding to, but I need to remember, like, it's still serving even to work on our own stuff. I actually just posted about, you know, yesterday on Instagram. It was like, it's not selfish, you know, to take some time for yourself and to work on things, because you often come back more energized and more creative, and it has more uses, like launching the website that I now am using as a utility. So that's something I still need to remind myself and still continue to show up for and do, and treat ourselves like a client too sometimes.
I think a lot of agencies will recognize that you never put your own work first. I mean, no. Most agencies, they get their website up and then they never want to look at it again.
Or you feel guilty,
yeah,
right?
Putting portfolio on the website? Mm-hmm. No, that's never going to happen either. So for the listener who's maybe thinking, you know what, I could go to Lima. What? Tell me a little bit about the conference. What could people expect?
Sure,
it's in June or July?
It's in June, June 19th and 20th, 2024. And it's in, like I said, Lima, Ohio. And we have a theme each year. So the theme this year is roots, like how to really nurture the roots of your business and getting to the roots of it. So it's a 2-day event. People usually show up on, you know, a Tuesday. It's a Wednesday, Thursday event. We all hang out. Wednesday, we unpack the theme, because we always try to look ahead at where is business in general going and growing. In this, we're trying to really talk about nurturing and building deep-rooted businesses through community and collaboration and co-creating together and what that's going to look like. And so day one, we unpack that. Day two is all the hands-on how-to, like nitty-gritty. And there's table talks as well, where you're able to go and meet in a small group and get your answer or questions answered, as well as, you know, collaborate with other people. There's a lot of opportunity for networking, and there's videos and also photos if you want to check out and get the vibe of the conference. It's sociallima.com is the website URL, but people explain it as the summer camp for business and marketers, and they build lifelong friendships there. It's something we really do kind of try to personalize the approach for and the experience for everyone. I was showing you earlier, like one of the things that also kind of gets people still talking about the conference is instead of like doing like an Amazon gift card or something for the speakers, we create custom bobbleheads for them, which is fun. But there's lots of little surprises and little added experiences to show you how much we care too when attendees come. So I'm a little biased, but it's a great time.
I believe the speakers take those bobbleheads as a rite of passage. You haven't arrived until you have a bobblehead.
Yeah.
Jessica, I've had a great time. There's so many questions I know I haven't asked. We may have to get together again sometime soon. If you do write the book, definitely happy to help you with publicizing that. But I sense it might be a while away. So I guess I need to ask you this one question. You've kind of answered it, but there might be a different answer now. But what's one thing you do now that you wish had started 5 years ago?
One thing I would have started 5 years ago, I would definitely say the book. Yeah, because then I'd be done by now, right? I kind of did start it a couple years ago anyway. But yeah, I think I would have got more serious about it and practicing what I preach now and just said to you, you know, one thing I still could be doing differently is taking that time out and carving that time for myself and working on, you know, those goals that I have, the big goals. So
I think the book would do well because focusing on this specific perspective is really quite powerful. And I don't really hear that many people talking about it. There's a lot of people talk about tactics, a lot of people talk about strategy, but not many people talk about the spirit of a business, how important that is. And I think the CARE framework really communicates that very nicely in a super practical way.
Thank you.
If people want to find out more about you, where can they do that? You mentioned you can get the
workbook. Yeah. You can go to Now Marketing Group. So Now Marketing and then group, GROUP.com/CARE. And that shows you the new Now Marketing Group website, but also gives you that workbook that walks you through creating your own company brand manifesto, gives you some examples around others, as well as the CARE framework that you can build within your own brand. And it also has some other resources there too, to help you along the way with examples of others that have done it. And of course, my information's on there too, if you'd like to reach out or have any questions.
And which is your favorite social media platform to connect on?
This is going to sound funny, but I would say Messenger, because I love like communicating with people there. But other than that, you know, I'm a huge LinkedIn, Facebook girl. So
good answer. Three answers. What more could you ask for? Jessica, this has been great fun. I've really enjoyed myself. It's been a treat to finally meet you properly. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate being on here, and hopefully this helps others.
I'm sure it will. So that does bring us to the end of another episode. To you at home, thanks for listening. And I would gently invite you with some force to leave a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. That's 5, like the fingers on your hand. If you're on YouTube, you can see those fingers on my hand. You can also just do a like and a subscribe. They don't do reviews on YouTube, Jessica. Thank you for listening. I will see you next time.